This week on It's So Bad, step into the shadows of the deadliest dwelling on Earth. You've arrived at Castlevania, and you're here on business. This week we add one of the best games of the NES to our endless list in Castlevania, here on It's So Bad. Welcome, Chris, to another episode. It's your third episode in a row.
It's the hat trick.
The hat trick. And it's been a while. It was a while before these episodes that you were on the podcast. So
yeah.
It's good
yeah.
That we're doing three.
Can't miss me if I don't go away.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. And you can also follow us on the Twitter machine at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. And you can also send us emails if you'd like to. It's sobadpod@gmail.com for any of your comments, questions, concerns, etc. But we're adding this game to our endless list, which is a list of every game. This is our 40th game we are adding to the endless list. And it's not just good games. It's not just bad games. It's every game in between. Games that have that we want to add to our list for a number of reasons. They might be important. They might have a legacy. They might be just really bad and we want to add them to our list. Or they might be really good. But we judge them on their merits, from gameplay to story to graphics to how they were in the era for their time, how they added to the industry, what their legacy was, etc. And this week we're adding one of, again, as I mentioned, one of the best games on Nintendo, in my opinion. Do you think it's one of the best games on the Nintendo Entertainment System?
I think it's a very good game.
Mr. Chris, do you think it's one of the best?
One of the best.
Would you say it's a top 25?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it's one of the best.
Yeah.
There's 800.
Yeah, I guess you have 800 games. Yeah, you're in the top 25. Yeah,
you're pretty good. So you can play this game on the NES, the Famicom, the Famicom Disk System as well. They re-released it on the Famicom after the Famicom Disk System version. The Play Choice 10 Arcade had a little chip you put inside that for the Play Choice 10. It was released on the Commodore 64, the Amiga, MS-DOS, and it was released on the Game Boy Advance. Also available on the NES Classic. Was released just recently on the Castlevania Anniversary Collection for the PS4, Steam, Xbox One, and Switch. So you have a number of options to play this. If you want to play this on a PC, you can find a way as well. But what is Castlevania, Mr. Chris?
Well, it is a side-scrolling horror-themed game. You know, I was going to say it's almost kind of like a movie because, you know, the beginning's in a film strip. But
yes.
Either way, you know.
It is the aesthetic.
It is a game with some questionable mechanics when it comes to your jumping and your blowback when you get hit. But yes. You essentially play, you are Simon Belmont with a variety of whips and other weapons at your disposal as you take on all varieties of the creatures of the night.
The creatures of the night, the monster movie creatures. And what's your history with Castlevania in general? So what games have you played?
I've had this game since it came out when I was a little kid. I used to play it quite a bit when I was a little kid. I used to be able to beat Castlevania. I have been trying to go back recently and try to beat it. I apparently am not as good at it as I used to be.
I beat it. I've beaten it recently.
It's the Grim Reaper's pretty hard.
The Grim Reaper's very hard, but if you have the boomerang, it's kind of...
The boomerang or the holy water.
Yes, you can stun lock him if you have the holy water.
Yep. So I had that game. I didn't have Castlevania 2, but I've played it. I got Castlevania 3 at a yard sale, sealed.
Oh, recently.
A couple of years ago, yeah. I haggled the guy down to $6.
For this sealed Castlevania 3.
Yep, factory sealed, still with the plastic wrap around it.
Did you sell it?
That afternoon on eBay for $200.
You probably could have got more for it, I would imagine.
I think that's about what it was going for at the time. It was very comparable to the other sold auctions for other sealed Castlevania 3s. Okay. Played the Super Nintendo ones. And then I have Portrait of Ruin for the DS.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty much... I didn't play a lot of the DS ones or the GBA ones, but I have...
No Symphony of the Night?
No.
Okay.
I kind of fell out a little bit. But, yeah, for whatever reason, I have Portrait of Ruin. That's the one more modern one that I have, okay. For whatever reason.
So, back in the day, I played Castlevania. I probably rented Simon's Quest a bunch, played Dracula 3, Castlevania 3 for a bunch, beat for the Super Nintendo and had Super Castlevania, so Castlevania 4. But within the last like 4 or 5 years, I've beaten Castlevania, Dracula X, Symphony of the Night, Circle of the Moon, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, the one that they really, Igavania that they released, the 8-bit one. And now I'm currently playing Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, the game that just came out recently.
Yep.
And I've played, like I said, Simon's Quest and Castlevania 3, and also Castlevania Adventure Rebirth, the one that they released on the Wii, which was a remake of the Game Boy game. But yeah, so I have really gotten in deep with Castlevania.
You have gone down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, Symphony of the Night was really good. Speaking of which, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is essentially just a sequel to Symphony of the Night, is also very good, surprisingly. And it had a weird Kickstarter release.
A bit of a history
that was questionable in some spots, but it's come out pretty good. I even have the Switch version, and there's been a lot of criticism around frame rate and how it looks different. I found it to be fine. It's some areas have been iffy, but it hasn't been that bad. And mm-hmm. plus, they're promising a lot of patches in the future, which may or may not improve it even further. But we'll see. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is something to check out. Have you played Curse of the Moon, the Bloodstained game?
No.
It's really good. It's basically like Castlevania 3.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good.
It's a fun little playthrough. But, plus, it's cheap, too.
So. I very rarely play the modern games, though, so.
It's an 8-bit. It's
pixel
art. Yeah, so. But one thing I want to say at the outset is that I got a lot of the material for this podcast from a Shmupulations article. Have you heard of Shmupulations?
No.
They did a translation. They do translations of like Famitsu articles and interviews from like back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Akamatsu interview. The guy who made this, Hitoshi Akamatsu, was the director of this game. And I got a lot of material from that Shmupulations article. So thanks to them. This game was released in September of 1986 in Japan, 1987, May of 1987 in North America, developed and published by Konami. Again, Akamatsu was the director, the producer was Akihiko Nagata. So this game was pretty early in the NES lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy that it came out that early.
Yeah, you know, for what it is.
Yeah.
Pretty ambitious game.
What do you like about the game?
I mean, overall, I like the aesthetic of it. I mean, I'm big into like the old kind of B movies and monster movies and Universal movies and stuff. And that just stylistically right off the bat.
So you fight a vampire bat in the first level, Medusa, Mummy Man, Frankenstein and Igor, Death and Dracula.
Yep. Yeah, that's a classic cast of characters right there. Plus you get like the, you know, the knockoff Gill Man. The fish man, I think they call
that
the
are
game.
In the that you jump know, out of the water
and the cool looking zombies and all that stuff.
Yeah, zombies are pretty cool.
But I think, despite what I will probably ultimately come out of this podcast later when we talk about when you get hit and the way you bounce back, I feel like the whipping mechanics like feel very good. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, but like it feels like it has like, it's weird to say that like it feels like it has like some measure of weight or
it does
some solid feeling to it,
because like, it's got the animation has you go backwards first and then push forward.
It's just satisfying.
Yeah, it's very satisfying something. It's very it's the gameplay in general and the whipping is very slow and deliberate.
Mm.
So it's like you have to plod and pace yourself as you go and make deliberate moves. It's not like a twitch game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I will say the secondary weapons you pick up. Like I like the axe. I like the holy water. Those are in the boomerang or the cross. I think they call it boomerang in the Nintendo version because you can't call it a cross.
Right.
Like those are weapons that also have like very satisfying feels to them.
Right.
You know, it's nice having like the cross like fly across screen like back and forth and wipe out like a series of enemies or candles or whatever.
It's very satisfying. Did you know that they added the secondary weapons in an order so that you would understand better the weapons as you progressed?
No.
So the first weapon you get is the dagger, which is the easiest one. You just throw it across the screen.
Yeah.
The knife. And then the second weapon you get is, I think, the holy water, which you throw in front of you. And they try to progress it so that you understand what these weapons do a little bit better. And they make them a little bit more esoteric as you go. So, like, the holy water makes a fire on the floor, whereas the knife just throws it across the screen, which is a little bit easier to understand. They try to progress your knowledge of the game by giving you these weapons as you go further.
I think don't you get all the weapons besides the boomerang in the first level?
Because
there's the random drop from the bat that can give you the stopwatch.
Yes.
Then you get the axe right before you go to the bat. I think the only thing you don't get is the boomerang, which I think you get at the start of the second level.
Also, do you know why Simon Belmont uses a whip? Do you think that just vampire hunters in general use whips?
It's
kind of like encoded into our brains.
Yeah, that seems to be an interesting wrinkle they added.
Yeah, so the Akamatsu, the guy who was the director of this game, says that the Belmont family uses a whip because it matches the environment. But also because I'm a really big Indiana Jones fan.
Well, there you go. That's all it takes sometimes.
So, yeah, he thought that Indiana Jones had a cool whip, so he added that in there. So we mentioned that you get pushback when you get hit, which is infuriating.
Oh, yeah.
But it happened a lot. It happened in Ninja Gaiden, too. I don't know.
Which was also infuriating.
I don't know why they added that. Because it's a platforming game, right? So you're jumping from platform to platform, and you get hit, and then you bounce back.
It's one thing Castlevania does not do well is platforming. It's like Castlevania and Double Dragon should never have platforming.
I don't know. I like the platforming.
I think it's just... I feel like the controls when you jump are never the most precise. You know?
I would say, as opposed to like Ninja Gaiden, some parts seem unfair.
Oh, yeah.
In Castlevania, it seems like it's a challenge, but it's entirely doable.
Yeah. As long as there were like bats or like Medusa heads kind of flying around while you're trying to take a jump.
There's one specific area, the hallway leading to death.
Oh, it's miserable.
Yeah, this where there's Medusa heads and they come at you. The thing about Medusa heads is that they come at you in a sine wave, like the up and down wave. And then you have armored guys throwing axes at you.
Yeah.
From in front of you. Yeah. So you've got guys coming at you on a diagonal while a guy throws you projectiles. It's like impossible for you to get around, but you can eventually figure out a strategy to get down that hall. So you get stuck at death.
Really? Well, since I've like gone back to like replay it,
I would say
get stuck at death.
I got stuck more when I was recently replaying it at Frankenstein and Igor.
That was the other one. That's miserable speed.
Yeah, I think our other podcast co-host Matt was saying that secretly the most difficult enemy in that game is not the Medusa heads, but rather the bouncing Igor monkey men guys.
Oh no, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
Because I was like, I was replaying it yesterday. Yeah. And I was like, these fucking hunchbacks.
Yeah, hunchbacks are terrible. Oh,
there's one part where it's like a whole bunch of them being dropped by like giant birds.
Oh yeah, right before you get to the
It's like, it's fine as long as you keep up with them.
You just keep going straight.
If you miss one and they start bouncing around in front of you, you're fucked.
No, what I do is you whip them as they come down in front of you, but you keep moving forward. In that game, if you keep moving forward a lot of the times, you can get around stuff. You just got to keep pressing forward. Again, it's like slow, deliberate prodding, but you can do it.
The skeletons that throw the bones, those are also a pain in the ass.
Really? I never found those to be that bad.
It's like if you find, like, I'm thinking like in the second level, close to the end where you're jumping over the gaps. Like, let's say something happens, you die there and you have to start back over and you don't have the full whip power-ups.
No.
They become a lot more difficult.
Yeah. There is a cool sequence break there. I forget what level it is. The level where you go into the underground cave and there are you have to go on the floating platform and duck down. There's a sequence break where you can jump above. If you hit a bat a bat will and hit it a certain way, you can go over the top.
Yeah, knock you up to that, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. Because there's, like, there's platforms floating in the cave drawing that you can stand on.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, the Gilman land on it occasionally.
Yeah.
And then, like, they rain down on you.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. I really like this game. It kind of, in terms of its legacy, it laid the foundation for what would come in Metroidvania, the genre. It's not a Metroidvania game. It's a linear game. It's just an action platforming game. I don't think also this game is better than Castlevania 3, for example. I think Castlevania 3 is like a next step. I would say Castlevania 2 is fucking miserable. Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
It's not a good game whatsoever.
Agreed.
It has some interesting ideas, but it like there's boss fights in that you can just walk through.
Yeah. Castlevania 2. There's a lot of weird shit going on with that second game.
Yeah,
and
it's fucked up. It's bad. It's bad. But it has some interesting elements that they incorporate into Metroidvanias, but it is not a good game on its own. But this game is good. I really enjoy it compared to... I would put this game above, like, a Mega Man. I don't know about a Mega Man 2.
Above a Mega Man? Oh, yeah. Above the original Mega Man?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yes.
But it is a very good NES game.
It is. And I think, you know, we were just kind of talking about some of the, like, the blowback when you get hit and the Medusa heads. I think, like, it's weird because, like, those are frustrating, but, like, not in a frustrating, like, oh, this game sucks sort of way. Like, frustrating in a sense, like, it's part of the challenge. And I think because Castlevania is so challenging, I think that's part of the appeal. It's weird because, like, you like Ninja Gaiden, and it's like I think a lot of people get very frustrated with, like,
right,
the more challenging aspects of it, where Castlevania is not like such that, like, you just never want to play the game again. You want to try to get better at those challenges.
Yeah, I would say that the difference between, like, a Ninja Gaiden and a Castlevania, again, to me, is that Ninja Gaiden at times feels cheap. It feels like the enemies spawn randomly. They will come at you at certain ways to make it impossible for you to progress. And it's very hard for you to get better because some of the times the patterns are so random that it's hard for you to get anywhere. Or they'll just throw so many things at you at one time where it's like feels like it's impossible.
Yeah, outside of that death hallway, I never feel like what Castlevania does to you is too unfair,
right,
or even unfair at all.
Right.
The death hallway is a little absurd.
I don't.
It's short though. Yeah, it's not. But it's just. It's
and a, plus, there's. I think there at one point there a candle drops a screen clearing a cross thing, yeah, so you can get through it that way. I would say death is very hard, but death is, again, I think that even they mentioned in the interview that I was talking about how they made death so that you could understand the mechanics of using axes and crosses, because they can help you clear the screen of the flying Reaper blades that he sends at you.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of these, and we mentioned too briefly that one of the sub-weapons, the Holy Water, is, like, OP as fuck in this game because you can stunlock a bunch of different bosses with it.
Right.
So if you toss it on the ground and keep... if you toss it on the ground, then whip them a couple times and toss them on the ground, the Medusa, for example, will stay in one place, not spawn any of her snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Igor and even Frankenstein will do the same.
Yeah, that's, like, that's the easy way to beat them.
Yeah, and the same thing with death. If you hit a brick at a diagonal at the right place, it just stunlocks death as well. I didn't do that in my playthrough because I'm not that good, but I definitely used the cross to clear the screen of the Reaper blades.
Yeah, I didn't have the last couple times I got to death, I didn't have the cross because, like, maybe I died.
It took me a while. It took me like maybe like 4 or 5 hours to beat that game, but it definitely, like, I hammered through it.
Frankenstein is actually probably the hardest boss in the game. I just think I think I'm just so, like, tired by the time I get to death after probably losing to Frankenstein
death,
a bunch of times.
Death is very hard. Very, very hard. I would also say that Dracula can be hard if you don't know how to precisely jump over his.
Yeah.
He opens his cape and he has 3 fireballs that come out. And if you don't know how to jump over those fireballs and get that timing right, he can be very, very difficult.
Once you get that, though, I think he's fairly easy at that point.
He's also another one. The second form you can stun lock with the Holy Water, which makes it very easy if you want to beat it that way. I don't think I beat it that way.
I think
I got to him and the beast that comes out of Dracula, and I was just like, holy fuck, I got here. Now I'm going to go crazy. But it is insane, too, in terms of legacy of this game. They pull a lot of aspects of this game for other Castlevania games. So, like, the way Dracula operates, his gameplay mechanics with his fire, is reused in a bunch of different Castlevanias. Mm-hmm. It's reused in, I think, Castlevania 3. It's reused in Super Castlevania. It's used in Rondo of Blood. He has almost the same open the cape mechanics and things come out of it mm-hmm. mechanics in those games.
Probably one of the most classic soundtracks in Nintendo history.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they still use it in... Bloodstained Ritual of the Night uses, like, fake versions of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have, like, the copyright-free versions of those songs in some of those.
I mean, I think, like, you know, when you think of Nintendo soundtracks, I think this Castlevania 2 with the song that plays when you have like the terrible night for a curse box. That one is pretty classic. And then like you have like Mega Man 2.
Oh, the overworld for when I was a little kid, I think I played Simon's Quest more than I played Castlevania, which is unfortunate. But like the overworld theme, the that one is really good. But yeah, this game, Castlevania 1, has a lot of iconic music in it. So. Iconic music, iconic boss designs. The whole game, the main character still, he's in Smash Brothers now. Simon Belmont. Simon. Yeah, and he hasn't appeared in any other Castlevania games.
Nope.
Except for the second one.
It's just funny how like when you look at like these old Nintendo Castlevania games, like how you described it was pretty spot on. It's kind of slow, methodical.
Yeah.
And then like when they kind of hit like the Metroidvania stage, they become like fast, spastic, out of control games.
No, not even, because like Symphony of the Night is still pretty deliberate.
I mean I'm more thinking like the particularly the DS ones. Yeah. It's like you can just like bounce all over, like you have people like beating those games in like 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, I watched a speed run of Symphony of the Night for SGDQ, and they essentially just change, because you can change forms in those games, mm-hmm. into like a bat and like mist and stuff, and they just change into a bat every time so they can zoom across the stage.
Yeah,
so it's like zoom.
Just quite a change the series took.
Yeah, I mean, but still, those games are pretty deliberate, and even playing Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, the new one that just came out, I've played other Metroidvania games recently that I've found were very twitchy. But this game is very, again, deliberate, because the speed at which you hit guys is slow, so that you can't just tap the attack button over and over again.
Right.
But yeah, this game, I mean, it introduced those aspects, the slow and deliberateness. So it's different from like a Mega Man. It's better than some of the Mega Man games, but it's got a hefty legacy that we'll have to talk about in our ranking.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into there's a couple things I should note here. This is not technically, or actually, I would say at the same time as this game, when this game was released, there was another game released for the MSX called Vampire Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very much the same game, but because of the limitations of the MSX, they had to change it a little bit. In that way, this game, the Vampire Killer, wasn't a linear game, but it has the exact same sprites of Castlevania, and you had to go find keys and open doors.
Yeah.
And it kind of led into the creation of what Metroidvania would become.
Gotcha.
And Simon's Quest. So it's funny how Konami made two games. They basically made the same games, but because of the limitations of one system, the MSX, they had to change the format, and that would become its own genre.
Yeah, yeah.
So that game is Vampire Killer. They also developed in 1988, 2 years after this, an arcade conversion of Castlevania known as Haunted Castle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is terrible.
I've seen that. Yeah, that doesn't look good.
It looks really bad. And plus, it's very, very cheap because they want you to pump in those quarters.
Yeah.
So imagine a Castlevania, but cheap. That would be miserable.
Because it's so fair to begin with.
Right. So, we come to our point in our podcast where we talk about rankings. And I will say that this game is the 10th, maybe, game, 11th NES game on our list. Our 12th game released in the 1980s. Our third Konami game. And third Konami game, we had Contra Hardcore, and we had Zone of the Enders, and we'll have Castlevania. And this will probably be our highest ranked Konami game.
Yeah, what were the other two Konami games again?
Zone of the Enders and Contra Hardcore.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not a... That's...
it's a poor showing from Konami right now.
That's not much of a challenge right there.
Our 40th game added to list. There have been around 25 Castlevania games made since this game. Last few have been pretty miserable. Did you ever play the Lords of the Shadows game?
I did not.
Yes, they are pretty bad. PS3... PS4.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They are. I think they're just PS3 or Xbox 360 games.
Yeah.
They made some PS2 games that also look miserable.
Yeah, you know, Castlevania has a... It is a quality, not quantity series.
It's also... At points. I don't understand why they don't go back to 2D at this point. Because all the 3D games, while they probably have made money, they have not been received quite well.
You mean Castlevania 64 wasn't... Wasn't lighting up the charts.
Legacy of Darkness. They made two of those ones.
That's amazing.
they're pretty bad. There's one for PS2, and this is spoilers for a 15-year-old game, where you play as, I think it's supposed to be in like the Middle Ages, but the ending is that you're actually in New York and fighting through a mansion the entire time or something like that in modern-day New York. It's pretty bad, but I really want to play those games. So those games will be added to the list at some point. But we are in the midst of a mini Castlevania resurgence. There's been a ton of Metroidvania games that have come out recently, from your Axiom Verges to your Guacamelees.
I was about to say, Guacamelee.
To your Hollow Knights, to all these other things. But those are Metroidvania, the games that have been slowly building in popularity over the last like 5-6 years. But this past like 3 months, we've had Smash Brothers added Simon and Richter Belmont to Smash Brothers Ultimate. Castlevania Legacy Collection was just released like last month. And Bloodstained, which is basically Castlevania, has been tearing it up. So, I mean, we're in the midst of a mini Castlevania resurgence. I wish we had more just Castlevania games, but I guess that's too much to ask for. Thanks, Konami. Keep making those pachinko games, you jerks.
Well, at the aren't they releasing the PC mini, the TurboGrafx mini? Is that Konami doing that?
Yes.
Yeah. But like in that, you know, isn't that going to have
Rondo of Blood?
Rondo of Blood, yeah.
The Japanese, well,
the Japanese one's going to have it. Yes. Of course, the American one's going to have it.
But
so you're going to get that.
You can get, also, they released Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood like last December on PS4.
Oh, well.
So you can do that already.
Guess I didn't pay a lot of attention to that.
I forget what that was called. It was some collection, but it was a separate collection from the Castlevania Legacy Collection. Legacy Collection has like 1, 2, 3, I think 4, and then a couple Game Boy games.
Oh, God. The Game Boy games, remember, like, same problem with the Mega Man Game Boy games. Like, the sprites are so huge.
And plus it's super slow. It's like it's already slow on Nintendo, but it's like super slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some of those games aren't bad. Like the third one isn't bad, but the other ones are not good. There are, in my view, looking at the rankings, there are better Castlevania games than this game that will probably go higher than this game.
Yeah,
I think Symphony of the Night laid a groundwork for Metroidvania games in a way that only Super Metroid compares. Symphony of the Night and Super Metroid kind of made the Metroidvania genre. And it's super popular now, and it's got a tremendous legacy, and that's probably going to go higher in this game. I think personally that Castlevania 3 is going to be higher on this list when we get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe some of the GBA games, because some of those GBA games are really good.
I just want to point out that as we were talking about Castlevania, a very gnarly thunderstorm is rolling in right now. It's getting very dark and ominous outside.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
All right, Mike, you seem pretty high in this. So, where do you want to start this one?
On Castlevania. Well, on our list, the way it currently stands, I don't think that this is a better game than Mega Man 2.
That was a little bit higher than I anticipated. Won't lie, a little higher than I expected.
Where do you think it's gonna go?
I feel more like I think it's in like the No Mercy Arkham Asylum Mortal Kombat range.
Well, that was my top end. I'm not saying I don't think I think it's, if we bracket it in between the two NES games that I think it would go, I think it's higher than Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
But lower than Mega Man 2.
So it's a big range. It's
It's a range of 10, right?
Yeah. I don't think it, you know, I think kind of like what you were saying, like it's a very good game, excellent Nintendo game. But even within the Castlevania series and Nintendo, there's a lot better. Well, not a lot better, but better. And, you know, I just think it, I think it's very good. I just can't, I have a hard time putting it above Arkham Asylum.
A hard time putting it above Arkham Asylum?
Yep.
Oh, I don't like Arkham Asylum. Why?
Well, then find, you know, I have a hard time putting it above No Mercy. I'll say that.
Why do you think it goes Arkham Asylum goes above Castlevania?
I think even though Arkham Asylum was the first in the Arkham series, I think it's a much more realized idea.
But is it much more realized for its time?
No, I don't think so, because I think even though we did an episode in Spider-Man a couple episodes ago where we were kind of talking about how Spider-Man laid the groundwork for like the open world superhero games, I still feel like Arkham was trying a lot of new things, and just like Castlevania was trying a lot of new things for its time. And I think Arkham Asylum, I think, just kind of got there quicker.
Yeah.
And I think Castlevania was, it's an excellent game. You know, it's got some warts.
It does.
And and I don't think the warts are necessarily from hardware limitations. I think they're just from, they just hadn't found their way yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they would fully flesh out this game in probably Castlevania 3 would be like the definitive Castlevania game on the NES. It's hard for me. I'm like trying to think, like, because I didn't play Arkham Asylum in its time, it's hard for me to really understand what its impact was. But thinking it through, maybe it feels like a more fully realized game than Castlevania does, the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will say that the legacy of Castlevania is much bigger than Batman Arkham Asylum.
It is.
I will say that the music is much more
there's not really much
impactful.
Much in the way of music in Arkham Asylum.
Exactly.
It's more ambience.
Yeah, yeah. But even the ambience, it's like kind of like muddy. Just, I don't know. That game, the aesthetic of that game especially rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, would you...
Arkham Asylum.
No, I do love the aesthetic of Castlevania, but would you put it above No Mercy?
Probably not.
Yeah, because I think No Mercy is, that's like the, that's on the opposite end. That's kind of like the opposite of what we're saying with Castlevania. Like, No Mercy is kind of like the pinnacle of what, like,
wrestling.
That particular wrestling series was going
or
for.
Or all wrestling games, if you ask me. But I know I'm...
You still haven't played Here Comes the Pain, so...
And I also have not dived into Fire Pro Wrestling in the way that you have dived headfirst into that game.
Yeah, but... Well, that's a separate episode.
I
think it's I put Castlevania right in that No Mercy Arkham Asylum area.
So you want to add it as our new number 15?
Yeah.
Is that a good spot for it?
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that.
Our new number 15 on our endless list will be Castlevania for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Thank you, Chris, for joining us on this discussion. And the thunder is now here. And the rain is now here, pouring down, because we made the bad decision. We didn't put Castlevania...
The Castlevania gods.
Didn't put Castlevania down higher. Oh, no. What's going to happen? But you can follow us on our iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. We're also on Twitter at itsobadpod. If you follow us, you'll probably also see Mario Maker levels by the time this episode comes out. I'm going to release some levels for all of our Twitter followers to We're It's So Bad on there, by the way, if you want to. We actually got the username on Mario Maker, It's So Bad.
Mm. I like that they have the cannonball thing from Super Mario Land, the Game Boy games. Or whatever it is, the little metal ball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw that was one of the items you can unlock in Mario Maker, too.
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, cracking.
I played like 100 levels of it on Friday. I was like way too into it. Played it for like 4 or 5 hours.
I really need to buy a Switch.
Played that game. That game is really good.
Mario, I always say I'm going to buy a Switch and then I never do.
Mario Maker is phenomenal. It's like really, really
good. Yeah, I love old one.
Plus the way they surface levels in this game is way better than the original Mario Maker.
Every like Nintendo property needs like a Maker game.
I don't know. They're putting a Dungeon Maker into Link's Awakening, the remake.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll see how that works, but we're diving off course here. This is topics that we just shouldn't be talking about.
Well, the Castlevania Maker would be fantastic.
I'm sure there's a Mega Man Maker.
Yeah.
That is like a bootleg Mega Man.
Yeah. Maybe like an official licensed one. That would be great.
Yeah. The Konami will never do that, someday maybe we can hope that they are listening to this podcast and understand that we want a Metroidvania Maker someday. But thank you, Chris. It's so bad pod at gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, suggestions. We're always looking for new game suggestions. We want to add every game to our list. So get those suggestions coming. We've only gotten one suggestion and we haven't done the episode, but we will.
What was it?
We'll get to it. We're keeping it in our back pocket.
Well, you can edit. You can tell me what it is and edit this out.
Okay, it's Ninja Crusaders.
Interesting.
For Nintendo. You ever play it?
No, I've seen it, but no, I never played it.
Oh, whatever. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great time, and you can hear the rainfall in the background. And we added the thunder.